Well, greetings, radio friends, in the precious name of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another radio broadcast of plain and straightforward gospel preaching. Yes, and I'm here today in the fear of God alone. And friends, I believe in being honest about the truth of God's Word, and so that's the reason I tell it like it is. No, I don't believe in a watered-down gospel like some people preach in order to please their listeners. Friend, I have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday, and I've got to give an account of my stewardship in the gospel. And I trust that I'll never be charged with being guilty of mishandling the truth of God. Now, I'm aware of the fact that most people don't like to hear the truth, and it's been that way from Adam on down to the present time. But friend, what you do with the truth is entirely up to you, and it's your soul that must exist in either one of two places for all eternity. If you're saved and born again, then your soul will be in heaven. On the other hand, if you're not saved, and if you've never been born again through faith in Jesus Christ, then according to God, not according to me, but according to God, in whose hand your very breath is, you'll spend all eternity in the torments of hell and the lake of fire. And furthermore, friend, when you drop into the flames of hell, you'll remember me telling you that you would remember. So please, friend, give heed to God's word and accept God's salvation as expressed in the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary's cross. Let's listen to a lovely tune today, and it's the well-known favorite, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I'll lay down. Cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Well, friends, I sure thank God today for the old rugged cross, and especially for the one who hung on that center cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for the fact that it was love that took Him to Calvary. We thank Thee, our God, for all the value and all the virtue Thou hast placed upon His death there. We thank Thee for that precious blood without which there can be no remission for sin. We pray Thy blessing upon Thy word, about to be read and spoken from today. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, if you care to follow me in the scriptures I'll be using as my text for today, one verse as we find it in the Old Testament book of Amos. Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, as one grows older, there is a decided tendency to reminisce. And I, like everyone else, often find myself taken back in retrospect to the time when I first heard the true gospel. Like many of you listening in today, I was raised in strict subjection to Christian parents. We attended the Gospel Hall in Donora, Pennsylvania, where the gospel was faithfully preached every Lord's Day evening by God-fearing men, many of whom have since gone to be with their Lord. Now, being unsaved at that time, I was naturally upset by the soul-stirring messages by the many evangelists that conducted series of gospel meetings. However, my friend, I believe the most soul-piercing message I ever heard prior to being saved back on June the 2nd of 1952 was the one preached by one of the local brethren in the assembly at Donora. He was a man a little over 5 foot tall, and he only weighed about 130 pounds. But friends, when he preached on Amos 4 and 12 that evening, the whole gospel hall seemed to vibrate as his voice boomed forth in clear and repeated expression, "Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God." Well, friends, needless to say, being the procrastinating sinner that I was glad when the meeting was over. But thank God, down through the years when His grace and Holy Spirit prevailed, I was aroused time and time again by that booming voice with the message, "Prepare to meet thy God." Now, friends, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like to bring before you, the unsaved listener, 4 questions relative to this text, Amos 4 and 12. And I believe these questions have often been asked by those before whom the Holy Spirit has brought this portion of Scripture. The first question you might ask is this: why should I prepare to meet God? Why should I prepare to meet God? Well, friend, the answer to that question is relatively simple. The reason why you should prepare to meet God is simply because you have to meet Him. Yes, regardless of the fact that you give little or no thought to eternal matters, the fact remains you must meet God. There's absolutely no escape for you. Every individual who ever lived must meet God. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27 we read that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Friend, as sure as you're listening to my voice today, you're going to meet God. And it is indeed sad to see mankind going on in sin and rebellion to God as though they were never going to meet Him. Why, God tells us over in Acts 17 and verse 30 that He has already appointed the day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. And for those who die without Christ as their Savior, we read that they will meet God at the great white throne judgment, of which we read in Revelation chapter 20. And sinner friend, if you want to read the lurid details of your meeting with God, just turn to Revelation chapter 20 and begin your reading at verse 11. I trust that if you do, you'll be jolted into the realization that you must meet God. Yes, you must meet God. But as I say, death to most people is so remote. And yet we read in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 14, "Behold, thy days approach that thou must die." Again in 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14 we read, "For we must needs die, and there is water spilled upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth He devise means that is banished be not expelled from him." Now I know there may be some who are young and you're listening in today, and you say, "Well, I'm still young and I don't have to worry about dying." Listen, friends, people are dying at every age. Whether they're young or old, people are dying all over the world today. And for you who are young and unsaved today, and not concerned about death and judgment, let me give you God's warning as we read it over in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. Listen to this. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou this, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." Yes, God says, go ahead, young man or young woman. Live it up. Do your own thing. Go where you want to go. Let your eyes look upon anything they want to perceive. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Now, friend, the sad part about the history of mankind, apart from him being a sinner, is the fact that he has never had any desire to meet God. From Adam on down to the present time, people have been trying to run away from their Creator God. And friend, it just can't be done. In Genesis chapter 3, we read how our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned against God. And what did they do? Did they drop to their knees and repent before God? No, absolutely not. Did they have any desire to confess their sin of disobedience? No. We read in Genesis 3 and 8, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And that, my friend, has been the story since the beginning of man. He has continually sought to hide from God. And if you're unsaved today, whether you realize it or not, you're trying to hide from God. The Bible tells us in Romans 3 and verse 11, there is none that seeketh after God. And oh, how true that is. And the reason that is so true is because, being sinners, we have separated ourselves from our Creator. Back in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, we read that our sins and iniquities have separated us from God. Now, still another reason why we have no desire to seek God is because our minds are too involved with the sin-filled thoughts of time and sense. Yes, our every thought, word, and deed, if we're unsaved, brings no glory whatsoever to the heart of God. In Romans 3 and verse 23, we're told that there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, sinner friend, that's the way it stands. All your so-called good works are an abomination in the sight of a holy God. In fact, in Isaiah 64 and 6, we read that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So again, let me say, the reason why you should prepare to meet God is simply because you must meet Him. And friend, you'll either meet Him in time as your Heavenly Father through Christ, or you'll meet Him in eternity as your judge, again, through Christ. Now, the second question which you might ask today concerning our text is how. How can I prepare to meet God? Our first question was, why should I prepare to meet God? And now we ask, how can I prepare to meet God? And here again, the answer is very simple. Now, we've already mentioned the fact that to meet God, with all of our sins still upon us, means the great white throne judgment and the lake of fire. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John 5 and verse 22, the Father judgeth no man, but he hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So then, we must read what God has to say concerning the forgiveness of sins. Over in Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39, the Apostle Paul declares, through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now that scripture seems plain enough. It tells us that only through Jesus Christ can we find proper preparation to meet God. And that was made possible by the shedding of His precious blood at the place called Calvary. In Hebrews 9 and 22, we're told that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or forgiveness of sin. And so it was that in love for the sinner, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die the cursed death of the cross. And oh, how thankful we should be today that God loved us so much. Had we all been left to our sinful condition, we would all be doomed and damned to a justifiable hell and lake of fire. But you know, my friend, I read in Romans 5 and 8, where God says that He commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, sinner friend, can you not see the love of God today? He has made it possible for everyone in the world to have eternal life, but still countless multitudes are refusing His offer of mercy. And that through Jesus Christ alone. There may be some of you listening in today, and perhaps as a child you were taught that most memorable of all verses, John 3 and verse 16. Listen to this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now then, let's just look at a few scriptures to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that a sinner can prepare to meet God only through Jesus Christ, his Son. In Acts 4 and 12 we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Then we turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 10, and in verse 9 we're told where Jesus Christ himself declares, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Again in John 14 and verse 6 he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me repeat that, friend. I'm quoting here John 14 and verse 6. Jesus Christ declares that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I ask you, could anything be clearer than that? Here we have God's Son telling us that he and he alone is the only means of gaining entrance into the heavenly presence of God. Friend, the salvation which God has provided and which I declare unto you today is all based on the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. And furthermore, let me make this fact very clear. There is absolutely no salvation for your soul apart from faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Regardless of your preconceived ideas and regardless of the denomination of which you may be a faithful member, you or anyone else cannot show me in the Word of God where it says that you can reach heaven by good works, religious rituals, ethics, culture, philosophy, or even sincerity. No, my friends, from Genesis to Revelation, the principle and pattern has been made quite evident. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Still in answer to the question of how we can prepare to meet God, I can refer you to Acts chapter 16, where the Philippian jailer cried out to Paul and Silas, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer which they gave is just as valid today as it was over 1900 years ago. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now perhaps someone listening in is saying, well, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't know what it means to be saved. Friend, your belief in Jesus Christ is nothing more than head knowledge. It has never reached your heart. You may believe in the historical fact that Christ was a great man that lived a perfect life. You may believe that he was the Son of God. You may believe that he died on the cross. You may believe that he rose from the dead and now sits at the right hand of his Father God. You may believe that he's coming again. Yes, you may believe all this and more and still spend all eternity in the lake of fire. Now, friend, this is the most serious matter because it makes a difference for all eternity whether you're right or wrong today. God tells us in Proverbs 14 and 12 that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Now, friend, please listen very closely to what I'm about to say, because I'm about to tell you with the help of the Holy Spirit of God and with the Bible as my only authority how you can be prepared to meet God. Step number one, believe in your heart, not only in your head, but believe in your heart that the Word of God is true when it says that you're spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin. And therefore, my friend, you must confess that you deserve the eternal wrath of God. Step number two, believe in your heart that the words of Jesus Christ are true when he said that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Step number three, believe in your heart that there's nothing you can do to save your own soul. My friend, look at it logically as well as scripturally. If you and I could do anything to save our own soul, then why did Jesus die? Step number four, believe in your heart that when Jesus Christ shed his blood at Calvary, he was dying in your guilty room and in your stead. Yes, believe in your heart that he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world and your sins in particular. That, my friend, is the only way you can prepare to meet God. John 1 and 12 tells us, but as many as received him, meaning Jesus Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's all there is to it, friend. Just admit to God that you're a hell-deserving sinner, then accept the death of his Son as your only means of escaping the wages of sin. And you know, we're told in Romans 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is death. But thank God, his gift, his free gift, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now then, this leads us to the third question concerning Amos 4 and verse 12, and that is, when should I prepare to meet God? Well, friend, here again I must refer you to the Word of God itself. After all, this is your soul's eternal destiny we're considering. So we don't want man's ideas about it. We don't want to miss the mark, so to speak. Let's go to the Word of God, because after all, the Bible is the only authority we can possibly have. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, we're told, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." When does God want you to come and accept Christ as your Savior? He says, "Come now." Here God, my friend, is telling the sinner to come now. N-O-W, now. In Hebrews 4 and verse 7 we read, "Today, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart." Here God is telling the sinner to prepare today. Not tomorrow, but today. Turning over to Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 we read, "God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Here again God tells the sinner to repent now. Still again we read in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And finally, I would direct your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Listen to this. "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call ye upon Him while He is near." My friend, if the Holy Spirit of God is striving for that soul of yours today, please, please don't turn Him away. Seek ye the Lord when? While He may be found. Call ye upon Him when? While He is near. Yes, my friend, cast aside all your pride, your pleasures, your procrastination, and your fear, and just call upon the Lord Jesus Christ while He is near. Romans 10 and 13 assures us with these words, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ah, listen, my friend. You may never again hear the gospel of the grace of God. The Holy Spirit may never again strive with your soul. In Proverbs 29 and verse 1, here's what we read. "He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Another thing, friend. If you were to die today without having accepted Christ as your Savior, this program of the gospel would haunt you throughout those endless ages of all eternity. Yes, you'll remember how I pleaded with you to acknowledge your sins and to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And then again, I must warn you that the coming of the Lord is very near too, friend. All signs point to the imminent return of God's beloved Son. And every tick of the clock is shortening the day of God's grace. So please, sinner friend, for your soul's sake, don't be like King Agrippa over in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, who said to the Apostle Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now, up till now, we've discussed three questions relative to our preparing to meet God. We have asked and answered these questions. Why should I prepare to meet God? How can I prepare to meet God? And when should I prepare to meet God? Now let us consider very briefly the last question, what is the result of preparing to meet God? Well, friends, mankind today can boast of many achievements in the fields of engineering, science, art, medicine, law, and warfare. But the one problem that man has never been able to solve is still with us today, and that problem is death. But thank God there was one who conquered death. He was the one who could say, "I am the resurrection and the life." And friend, He is the one who lives today as the only mediator between a holy God and sinful man. And He is the man called Jesus Christ. Now let's listen to what He tells us in John chapter 5 and verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Again, we read in John 3 and verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Friend, the result of proper preparation to meet God is and shall be everlasting life. And that life will be in the presence of Him whom to know is life eternal. Yes, those of us who are truly born again children of God are going to spend all eternity singing, "Unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own most precious blood. Oh, listen, sinner friend, I wouldn't trade places with you for even one second and all the wealth in the world. I'd be afraid the Lord would come during that one second, and I'd be left behind for divine judgment. You know, in Mark 8, verses 36 and 37, Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Well, friend, let me ask you with all sincerity, yes, as we come to a close of another Voice of the Gospel broadcast, are you prepared to meet God? Are you, my friend? You prepare for everything else, and yet you're not prepared to meet God. Well, let me repeat the warning. God says, prepare to meet thy God. Friend, in view of the fact that you must meet him, why not come to Jesus Christ right now? You say, well, I'm not prepared, and I know I'm not prepared, but is God prepared to meet me? Yes, friend, you may not be prepared to meet God, but God's prepared to meet you. I read in Psalm 9 and verse 7 that the Lord hath prepared his throne for judgment. So in view of that fact, my friend, would you not be wise today? Acknowledge that you're a sinner in God's sight. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul. And then in simple childlike faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we come to thee again to ask thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.